Recognized as among the best large non-daily newspapers in Illinois, Ford County Chronicle. Questions? Call 217-781-4607. Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. FordCountyChronicle.com, $1.50. Chamber of Commerce, I really hope that Paxton has a place for me. Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. A good part of this week's Ford County Chronicle is taken up with the Chamber of Commerce, the Paxton Chamber of Commerce dinner. We'll get to those stories after we do some of these from the front page. First, felony drug charges. Ex-pharmacist arraigned, due back in court in early June. Former Doug's Pharmacy owner placed on pretrial release order. Paxton. A former Paxton pharmacist, charged with two counts of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, was arraigned and placed on pretrial release order in last week in Ford County Circuit Court as a pretrial hearing was set for June. Jenna Lee Vogel, the one-time owner and head pharmacist of the now-shuttered Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in downtown Paxton, appeared for her arraignment on Tuesday, March 25th, with her attorney, James Martinicus of Champaign, who had entered his appearance a day earlier. After being arraigned on the charges by Judge Matt Fitton, the 35-year-old Vogel, who listed an address in Gibson City, was placed on a pretrial release order that included conditions that she not leave the state without the court's permission, refrain from using controlled substances not prescribed to her, and obtain a psychological evaluation. Vogel was ordered to report to the Ford County Jail to be fingerprinted and have her mugshot taken, and then was released. Vogel was ordered to appear in court for a pretrial hearing at 9 a.m. Monday, June 9th. State's attorney Andrew Killian on February 24th charged Vogel with one Class X and one Class 3 felony count of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, and Vogel was then issued a summons on March 7th to appear in court on March 25th. The charges allege that Vogel knowingly possessed with intent to deliver 100 grams or more of a substance containing hydrocodone, as well as an amount of amphetamine on or about March 10, 2023. It was on that same date when 43,893 controlled substances were removed from the Vogel home in Gibson City by investigators for the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, according to a complaint that led to the temporary suspension of her registered pharmacist license by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. The drugs included medications in their original manufacture bottles, as well as unlabeled vials, containers of compounded creams and products with and without product name, and loose tablets and capsules in the bottoms of bags and totes, the complaint said. Only some of them were Vogel's prescriptions. 3 days later, the complaint said, Vogel's then-husband turned over to the DEA some of the hypertensive drug clonidine that had been found in their home. According to the complaint, Vogel's pharmacy at 137 North Market Street in Paxton, which closed suddenly months earlier, had purchased more than 50,000 tablets of clonidine but never sold them. Meanwhile, her three kids' child care provider said they had noticed the kids were sleepy and lethargic. Complaint, filed by Mary Meehan, chief of the health-related prosecutions for the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, led to a finding that Vogel poses an imminent danger to the public and the suspension of Vogel's license effective May 5, 2023. If convicted of the Class X felony charges against her, Vogel would face a mandatory prison term ranging from 6 to 30 years, while the Class 3 felony carries penalties ranging from probation to up to 5 years imprisonment. A mandatory street value fine, among other penalties, could be imposed as well. Vogel purchased Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in 2019 from its longtime former owner and pharmacist, Doug Higgins, who established the business in 1997. She previously did an internship there as a pharmacy student. Pharmacy suddenly shut down in the winter of 2022-23, not long after a foreclosure complaint was filed against Vogel by the Arkansas-based First Financial Bank, which secured judgment in its favor in summer of 2023. According to the foreclosure complaint, Vogel defaulted on a $1.75 million mortgage she had secured to acquire the pharmacy. Following a foreclosure sale, Andy Hudson of Paxton, who owns Hudson Drug and Hallmark Shop at 108 North Market Street in the city's downtown, purchased the former Doug's Compounding Pharmacy property in the fall of 2023 and opened Hud's Family Fun Zone there in December 2024. Also on the front page, we have Here's the Scoop, Ice Cream Shop Coming to Paxton. The main scoop plans to open new shop in State Street Mall. Paxton. The main scoop plans to open an ice cream shop within 30 to 45 days in the State Street Mall at 201 East State Street in Paxton, co-owner Jessica Hansen told members of the Paxton Area Chamber of Commerce during the organization's annual meeting Thursday. Once open, it would be the fifth location for the main scoop, which already operates ice cream shops in Mahomet, Monticello, Urbana, and Rantoul. The Mahomet shop was the main scoop's first opening there in December of 2021. "We went to Monticello, truthfully, with no desire or passion to grow," Hansen said. "We just thought it would work well to go on to Monticello. But that kind of started the ripple effect, then opening stores in Urbana in December of 2023 and Rantoul in June of 2024. Both Hansen and her husband are Ford County natives, having grown up in Gibson City and Paxton, respectively. They now live in Mahomet. "We're really passionate about being part of the community," Hansen said. "I'm involved in all of the chambers where our stores are located, so we're really just excited to be a part of your community again." Now we'll turn to the lead story on the front page of the Ford County Chronicle. This from the Paxton Chamber of Commerce annual dinner. "I really hope Paxton has a place for me." Woman with Down syndrome urges Paxton business leaders to expand their employment opportunities for local people with disabilities. Paxton. Now a college graduate, Kelly Griffin is looking for a job, hopefully her dream job in the food industry. 27-year-old with a newly discovered passion and talent for baking is having trouble finding any job, though, in the small town where she lives. "Since moving back home, I see a lot of signs and advertisements that say, Paxton is the place to be," said Griffin, a Paxton native with Down syndrome, who recently graduated from Judson University in Elgin. "And I really hope that Paxton has a place for me." Griffin and her mother, Gail, urge local business leaders to help create a place of inclusion for Griffin and others with disabilities as they spoke Thursday night to the Paxton Area Chamber of Commerce membership during the organization's annual meeting at Veterans Square in downtown Paxton. "We love this area and have strong ties to the past and great hope for the future, a future that includes Kelly working, living, and thriving in Paxton," Griffin's mother said. "But the reality is there are limited options for individuals with differing abilities to find employment in Paxton." Gail Griffin, who has served for more than 20 years on the board of directors of the Developmental Services Center for Champaign and Ford Counties, said the Champaign-based social services organization and others in the area stand ready to partner with Paxton employers to achieve progress in the expansion of disability-inclusive employment in the Ford County seat. "By sharing our story and our dreams for the future with community business leaders and employers this evening, we hope to ignite a spark of interest in the possibilities," she said. We invite you to strongly consider the information we have shared this evening and think freely about ideas for employment opportunities for individuals with differing abilities within your organization. It's not something we expect to be done without assistance, and we realize it is a process. The good news is DSC and other similar organizations stand ready to partner with employers in our area, provide support that ensures successful outcomes for both employers and employees. Kelly Griffin said she has already fulfilled one lifelong dream, attending college, and is now ready to fill her next dream, starting a career, as soon as the opportunity arises. She hoped that speaking at the podium Thursday in front of a room filled with local employers might just be the springboard needed to eventually get that chance. Now that I'm back home in Paxton, I'm looking forward to continuing to achieve my goals, Kelly Griffin said. I have a dream of working and living independently in my downtown, and that is why I am here tonight. I want to create opportunities for myself and others with disabilities who work and live locally. I want a chance to use the skills and knowledges I have worked so hard to achieve in a familiar place. I believe in myself. I believe in Paxton. I hope you'll join me to make my dreams come true. Kelly Griffin said she is proud of all she has accomplished in her life so far, which included graduating from Paxton Buckley Lota High School and then working part-time for 1 year at Clara Peterson Elementary School in Paxton, before being accepted into both the University of Georgia and Judson University RISE, which stands for Road to Independent Living, Spiritual Formation, and Employment Program, in 2020, then opting to enroll at the Elgin School. Attending college was a lifelong dream come true and a great experience for me, Kelly Griffin said. I lived in a dorm for the first 3 years, and in my final year I lived alone in my own apartment on campus. I attended classes daily, some of which were traditional, and some with other students in the RISE program. I learned budgeting, cooking, researching, and discussing current events in independent living. In my free time, I took guitar lessons, played in the percussion band, played basketball, did volunteer work, and hung out with friends. During my sophomore year, in addition to classes, I began working paid jobs both on and off campus. For the next 3 years, I was employed in different jobs to gain experience and see what type of work I liked best. I worked in a coffee shop, a bakery, a Christian school aftercare program, and a factory lab. It was during this time that I realized my love for baking. Not only did I really enjoy baking, but I am also really good at it. So I studied and passed the test to obtain my food service certificate. I'm really proud of that accomplishment. Through her experience at Judson University, Kelly gained knowledge and confidence in addition to certificates in the liberal arts. I learned a lot about myself while I studied at Judson, she said. I learned that I could set and reach goals. I learned I could live independently and manage my own apartment, budget and shop for groceries, and also prepare my meals. I also learned that I'm a problem solver. I learned I can overcome my fears. I learned I can be successful. I learned that I can be independent. Knowing that I'm capable of all of this gives me a lot of confidence. Since moving back to Paxton upon graduation from college, Kelly has been busy playing basketball for Special Olympics, baking and selling cookies, taking art classes in Champaign, attending Bible studies, and working with a personal trainer at the gym. In my free time, I am a Harry Potter fan, she said. I love to dance, watch movies, play games, read, go out to eat, and shop. Kelly has also been networking to find her dream job in the food industry, her mother said. As she mentioned, she has worked in bakeries and coffee shops along with preschools and labs, Gail Griffin said. She is also on a wait list for an apartment in the community and hopes to acquire a driver's license in the future. Gail Griffin, who was retired following a career as the head administrator to the deputy superintendent of Unit 4 schools, said Paxton's employers have a chance to make a positive impact on numerous lives, not just that of her daughter, by expanding their employment opportunities for people with disabilities. You may be wondering, is there really a big need in this community to expand opportunities for people with differing disabilities? Gail Griffin asked the crowd. And the answer is a resounding yes. A prime example of the number of people who could potentially benefit is evident in our local Special Olympics basketball team members. Gail Griffin said PBL's Special Olympics program has expanded tremendously since it was established by Griffin and PBL special education teacher Alex Goody about 17 years ago, with just one basketball team with only 6 members. Today, Gail said PBL's program has 3 teams with a combined 30 members from the area. It has been so rewarding and remarkable to watch how the community has come together to support our athletes, Gail Griffin said. That story is evidence of what coming together as a community to offer space and inclusion for typically marginalized groups can look like. And tonight, we are asking our business community to repeat that story by collaborating to open doors for employment for this group. I know offhand of several young men and women, in addition to Kelly, who have or will soon be transitioning from school into the workforce. I have talked with their parents, and they would love to see opportunities for their children in Paxton, too. In her capacity as a DSC board member, Gail said she has witnessed firsthand in Champaign-Urbana and surrounding towns the expansion of employment with people with disabilities. With DSC's help, she hopes Paxton joins that list too. DSC would be able to provide the same accommodations and support to our community to grow a business model that employs our citizens with disabilities too, Gail said. I have heard testimonials from organizations that employ this group, and here is what they have to say about their disability hires. They are more aware and conscientious of safety in the workplace. They have less absenteeism than their traditional counterparts. They tend to be dependable and on time. They are highly motivated to have employment and receive compensation. They are more likely to stay longer on the job. They help promote an inclusive environment, and they open pathways for others. As an employer, who does not value conscientious, dependable, motivated, and long-term employees? Before leaving the podium, Gail Griffin encouraged attendees to pick up an informational brochure highlighting the services offered through DSC and Leaders in Employing All People, the LEAP program. There's been such a growth in inclusion for individuals with disabilities over the 27 years we have traveled on this journey, and yet we have far to go, Gail said. While we do have more accessibility for our disability community in Paxton, one area that we have found needs to be addressed is the opportunities for employment. I understand that might be a bit intimidating, but trust me, it is very doable. In closing, we would love to partner with the Chamber and community leaders to indeed make Paxton a place to be, where all of our citizens thrive. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 2nd. Laura Lee L. Cole, Paxton. Laura Lee L. Cole, 88, of Rantoul, formerly of Paxton, died at 4:34 a.m. Sunday, March 30th at Country Health Care in Gifford. Private graveside services will be in Glen Cemetery in Paxton, with the Reverend Pat Allen officiating. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Timothy W. Beatley, Menominee, Wisconsin. Timothy Wayne Tim Beatley, 67, formerly of Loda, died Tuesday, March 18th. At Rochester Methodist Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, after a long and valiant fight against cancer. A celebration of his life will be from 1 to 3 p.m., Saturday, April 12th, at Papadel's Pizza, 1201 South Neal Street in Champaign. A memorial service was held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 28th, at Faith Lutheran Church in Menominee, Wisconsin, with the Reverend Michael Panikas officiating. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the American Cancer Society or to a charity of the donor's choice. Mac McClure, Gibson City. Mac McClure, 91, of Gibson City, died at 10:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 26th, at his home, surrounded by his family. Funeral services were held Monday, March 31st, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with the Reverend Lee Jenkins officiating. Burial was in the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Corn Belt Shrine Club or the National Rifle Association. Grisha Ann Reitz, and that's spelled R-E-I-T-Z, in Gibson City. Tricia Ann Reitz, 82, of Melvin and Gibson City, died at 5:39 p.m. Monday, March 24th, at the Villas of Hollybrook in Rantoul. Funeral services were held Tuesday, April 1st, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with the Reverend Heyu Cha officiating. Burial was at the Melvin Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Melvin Fire Department or the Memory Care Unit at the Villas of Hollybrook in Rantoul. Fred F. Thatcher III, LaSalle. Fred Farr Thatcher III, 66, formerly of LaSalle, passed away peacefully at the Mason City Area Nursing Home on Friday, March 28. Funeral services were held Thursday, April 3rd, at the St. Hyacinth Catholic Church in LaSalle, with the Reverend J. A. Small officiating. Interment was at the St. Hyacinth Cemetery following the Mass. Kathleen J. Warren, Rankin. Kathleen, Kathy, Joyce Warren of Rankin, died Thursday, March 27th at Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watseka. Cremation rites were accorded, and a celebration of her life will be held at a later date. We return to the news with more from the Paxton Area Chamber of Commerce's annual meeting. Mayor gives annual State of the City address. Among highlights, ongoing efforts to address flooding in town, bring in new homes and businesses. Now, this is a rather lengthy article, so we will get in what we can in the time we have remaining. Paxton. During the Paxton Area Chamber of Commerce's annual meeting on Thursday, March 27th, Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold gave his annual State of the City address, highlighting some of the progress the city has made under his watch over the past year, including probably one of the biggest projects that we've undertaken is going to be the Southeast Drainage Project, Ingold said. We've got five or six places here in town that have problems with excess stormwater after a heavy storm. One of them is out on Summer Street at Allison Drive, on Fall Street at Eastview Drive, and on High Street between Franklin and Patton Streets. So what we've proposed to do, and engineers have talked about, is putting new pipes and tubes all the way over to Stockholm Road, then to the southeast edge of town, and then going out to the drainage ditch out there. This is a $7.5 million project, so we are working with the engineers for applying to the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency for low-interest loans. All the planning documents have to be in by July 31st of this year. There needs to be a topographical map, a geotechnical investigation, and a preliminary design, all by July 31st, just to apply for this loan. So we hope that's going to work out for us. We've tried a couple of other things in addition to the Southeast Drainage Project to address flooding issues in town as well, Ingold said. We've had some drainage problems over on the northwest corner of town, so in partnership with Patton Township and two local landowners, we were able to go into a ditch and clear out an area that was probably needing it for about 25 years. Getting that cleaned up should help get the water away from the northwest corner of town. Also, on the southwest corner of town, we went out between Monocles and Subway and cleaned out another ditch to the south and to the east to get water out from around Shields Automart and underneath the I-57 overpass. So time will tell this spring when we have our first rain if that is going to really work or not. I hope it does. Improvements to downtown properties continue, Ingall said. In December 2016, the city implemented a plan with a new streetscape in mind to try to find a way to bring people to want to come to Paxton, Ingall said. We implemented this plan to redevelop the downtown by using new facades, new windows, doors, paintings, and awnings. And so far, we have completed 18 redevelopment agreements. We have 3 pending right now and we're working on, and we have another 18 redevelopment agreements that are in effect right now. Annual expenses for these projects are somewhere between $175,000 and $200,000 every year. We have an outstanding balance at the end of the year of around $700,000. The Downtown Tax Increment Financing District will expire in 2035, so in 10 years the city will have to decide whether to continue this TIF, start a new one, or just let it expire. On the southwest side of town, plans are in the works for a new housing development. On the housing development out by Centennial Drive and Monocles, I just met with the developer the other day, Ingram said. They're working with the engineers and their builders to determine a final layout, to work with infrastructure plans and determine what lots are going to cost to move forward. Ingalls said the first phase would be 46 houses, with phase two being 160 homes, plus an assisted living facility south of the Subway restaurant. To make way for the proposed development, Elm Street will be extended south beyond where it currently dead ends at Ottawa Drive. Centennial Drive could be used as a second entrance as well, he said. A commercial development is planned at 580 South Cherry Street, where a shuttered car wash is located. Ingalls said, I just met with the engineers a few weeks back. They're putting together some plans, some layouts, some photos on how they propose that will look, and then they'll bring that to council, if not at the April meeting, at the May meeting. This year's roadwork budget is the largest for a single year in the city's history, Ingalls said. We're going to spend $460,000 to repair streets in town. Part of that, $310,000, is from Rebuild Illinois money. Ingall noted that 4 additional Flock safety license plate reading cameras could be coming to Paxton, pending the City Council's approval in April. In just the past few months, these cameras have been responsible for arrests in 2 separate armed robberies, Ingall said. He noted that Paxton police handle an average of about 460 calls for service each month, compared with 300 to 320 for the Ford County Sheriff's Office and 200 to 215 for Gibson City. The new $250,000 playground installed last spring at Pell's Park has been seeing a lot of use, Ingall said, including on one recent weekend with nice weather. However, the park has also seen a lot of vandalism. To help address that issue, Ingall said he plans to ask the council for approval to install a camera at the park to watch and see what's going on. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.